This episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast is brought to you by Rich's Billiards, 5815 Weber, Not Your Average Heroes, new name, same place, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the second part of the Main Event Talk Podcast. I am the main event player to supersede the God among gods, the King among kings, the coolest son of a motherfucking bitch walking God's green earth. And if you look directly at your watches, at your clocks, or anything, it's 12 in the afternoon. So that means you're probably up right now, and you're probably anticipating the second half of the Main Event Talk Podcast, which is entitled NXT versus AEW New Nears Evil or Smash. And we are about to come into part two with a smash, because we're going to talk about all the stuff that happened at AEW Dynamite's New Year Smash, including the appearance of Sting, who appeared right there. And also, is it just me, or did an old concept from years ago decided to resurface in AEW? And do I think it's okay? You'll find out about that and so much more. And ladies and gentlemen, we have brand new SmackDown Tag Team Champions, and you'll find out who it is in a moment. Plus, some updates on the Raw Rumble, including Roman Reigns' opponent at the Royal Rumble. And you're going to find this to be a little bit funny, if you know what I mean. So, with that being said, now that we're here, part two has arrived. Let's kick it off hard styles, shall we? We'll be right back. boy, that song never gets old. That was Metal Allegiance doing the song Can't Kill the Devil. Now, I know what you're thinking. Those of you that have probably heard that voice, and those of you that are metalheads in your own right, you know that that was Chuck Billy, but that was not Testament. Just to clarify, it was not Testament, but he is a member of Metal Allegiance. As a matter of fact, several members of Metal Allegiance came from other bands like Testament or Dream Theater or Megadeth. Even Chris Jericho has played a part in this band and everything. And, you know, I had an opportunity to listen to the entire album earlier. And, man, that album, I love this album. I love Volume 2 because this one was released, I think it was 2015 or 2016. And then they did Volume 2, I think 2018. And that was a good album, too. I haven't had a chance to hear that album yet, but I'm hoping to get an opportunity to listen to it. But if you guys want to listen to that song in particular, all you got to do is go over to Spotify or go over to Pandora, wherever you go, and just look for Metal Allegiance and look for a song called Can't Kill the Devil. And I gotta say, I mean, that song still holds up even in 2021. I mean, this was released almost 5-6 years ago, and it's still a song that kicks fucking ass no matter what. Well guys, here we are. Part two is here, and boy, do we got a lot we need to talk about. Obviously, we got to talk about the second half of the part one, part two special that we talked about. Now, the first part, just in case you guys didn't get an opportunity, if you haven't heard it, go ahead and listen to it. The main event had given you his thoughts on NXT's New Year's Evil. Talked about the matches with Damian Priest versus Karrion Kross. The NXT Championship was on the line when, Kyle O'Reilly went one-on-one against Finn Balor. Sorry. Just had me a little drink for a while. And the last woman standing match between Raquel Gonzalez and Rhea Ripley. Still a fucking awesome match to check out and everything. So now we're done with that, and now New Year's Evil is done, and now we get to the New Year's Smash, and I'm gonna say it was a smash, but not really, in certain ways, and despite the fact that, yes, they had a tribute show, and yes, I don't want to talk about the tribute show, because it was all for Brody Lee, we put that out of the way, and we get right back to, unfortunately, reality. But before we talk about that, I have got some Royal Rumble updates, and I gotta tell you guys, the Royal Rumble is looking pretty good, but it's not doing as good as what you would expect, if you know what I mean. So the main event had an opportunity to check out Friday Night SmackDown, and there was a gauntlet match to determine who would be the number one contender to take on the Universal Champion Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. Now, the individuals that were part of this is King Corbin, Sami Zayn, Rey Mysterio, Daniel Bryan, Shinsuke Nakamura, and an additional pick by one of the WWE officials. His name is Adam Pearce. Now, for some of you old school players, and for some of you people that know who Adam Pearce is, I probably don't have to explain myself. But just in case, just to get this out of the way, Adam Pearce is a former NWA World Heavyweight Champion several years ago. Several years ago, as a matter of fact. Adam Pearce had played a major role in Ring of Honor. He was an official over there, and he did extremely well with the booking and everything else like that several years ago. And now he is an official with WWE. Now, why he was added to this match, I don't know. But let me get into what I saw. The first matchup consists of Rey Mysterio. He took on Sami Zayn. And this is a gauntlet match. So you got five of these individuals, or six of these individuals I just mentioned, and they're all going at it and competing to take on Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. So you had Rey Mysterio come in first, and then number two would be Sami Zayn. And Sami Zayn would go ahead and be on the microphone and start acting like a jackass and, you know, mentioning a bunch of politics and a bunch of bullshit. Not that I've never mentioned anything about politics in my podcast before, but that's a story for another day. Sami Zayn comes in, he gets hit with a 619, 1-2-3, Sami Zayn is out, Rey Mysterio moves on to another match. And oh God, Sami, shut up, okay? Put the mic down, do the match, quit, and he has his own camera crew. Really, Sami Zayn has his own camera crew, like that's gonna fucking work. But anyways, we eliminate Sami Zayn, and we move on to the next person, and the next person was Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, for some odd reason, I had this strange feeling that Nakamura was going to somehow be able to be the only person to win this. Now, Daniel Bryan would be the easy part, but that you'll see where this goes in just a moment. So Nakamura has a tremendous matchup against Rey Mysterio, going one-on-one, you know, back and forth matchup, head to toe, and Nakamura easily defeats Rey Mysterio by tap out. So Rey Mysterio is out of the gauntlet, and the next individual come would be King Corbin. Now King Corbin comes in and he goes ahead and attacks Rey Mysterio, because there's this little feud going on between King Corbin and Rey Mysterio. You know, probably some of you probably know that. And all of a sudden, now King Corbin is going after Nakamura. Now, this is one of these things where you got King Corbin, who's a heel, and Nakamura, who is still a heel, but he's slowly transitioning into becoming a babyface, and you're seeing where this is all going. So my vote is, I say, hey, let Nakamura win the match. Let's see what the fuck happens. It wouldn't surprise me if King Corbin were to win, and well, King Corbin, he almost won, but thanks to a Shinsuke or Kanshita or whatever the hell that knee strike is, hits Corbin, 1-2-3, Nakamura moves on to the next match, and the next match was against, let's see, Mysterio's out, let's see, Sami Zayn's out, Rey Mysterio's out, King Corbin's out, and all that's left is Nakamura and Daniel Bryan. Ah, that was the next matchup right there. And it was a fantastic one-on-one match between two very, very awesome professional wrestlers, you know, perfecting, you know, doing their craft in every way possible on SmackDown. Daniel Bryan and Nakamura did a tremendous job in the match. And my thought was, hey, Bryan has already said that he's going to be in the Rumble. So Daniel Bryan, we know, is in the Rumble. But if he goes ahead and wins his match and moves on to take on Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship, he could be considered out of the Rumble, or he may still be in, depending. But we're going ahead of ourselves here. So we get this matchup with Nakamura against Daniel Bryan. Both of them are going at it tooth and nail, head to toe. And my God, I mean, and me, I'm just like, hey, I like this match. I like how it goes. And it would be easy for me to go ahead and go for Daniel Bryan. But I wanted Nakamura to win. I wanted Nakamura to win so bad. So these two go at it, classic matchup, and at the very, very end, Nakamura surprised Daniel Bryan with a Shinsuke, but whatever the fuck that knee strike is, and 1-2-3, Nakamura wins and defeats Daniel Bryan. And I'm like, oh my God, he puts out Baron Corbin, he puts out Rey Mysterio, and he takes out Daniel Bryan. Three in a row. Holy fucking shit. So now I'm thinking, oh my God, he's going to be able to take on Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. And then here comes the head of the table. Yes, here comes Roman Reigns alongside with his special lethal counsel, or whatever the fuck his name is, Paul Heyman, and his cousin Jey Uso, who are walking down the aisle. And well, we do know there was another person that's involved in the gauntlet, and the last person was Adam Pearce, the official Adam Pearce. Now, I'm sitting here, I'm watching SmackDown, and I'm, okay, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? And all of a sudden, Nakamura gets attacked by both Jey Uso and Roman Reigns, and Adam Pearce is afraid. He is apparently scared for his life. Yes, pretty much scared for his life or something like that. Is threatened that he may get his job, may get his ass fired or something like that. And all of a sudden, Roman Reigns and Jey Uso both beat the shit out of Shinsuke Nakamura, leaving him laying. Roman Reigns throws Adam Pearce into the ring, goes ahead and, you know, Adam Pearce doesn't want anything to do with this. Roman Reigns hits him, knocks out an official. Yes, knocks out an official. And then he goes ahead and pulls over and he tells the ring announcer to ring the bell. He rings the bell. The referee is confused, doesn't know what to do. And then he goes ahead and does what he has to do. Adam Pearce is covering Shinsuke Nakamura. One, two, three. Adam Pearce is the number one contender and he's taking on Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship at the Royal Rumble. Okay. Follow along with me on this one. Imagine this, okay? Now, here's the exciting part. Here's the exciting part, right? At the Royal Rumble, it's going to be Roman Reigns defending the Universal Championship against former NWA World Heavyweight Champion Adam Pearce. My God, it's going to be the fucking shit. It's going to be the match of the year. It's going to be what everyone is expecting and more. Now, here is the reality. The reality is Roman Reigns is going to be defending his Universal Championship against a former NWA World Champion, Adam Pearce. And are we supposed to be excited? Maybe. Are we supposed to be threatened? Possibly. Is this match going to suck? You bet your ass! I mean, okay. Here's the thing I don't get. Okay, long time ago, there was this thing called general managers, okay? General managers. The operative word is general manager. There was an Eric Bischoff, general manager. Stephanie McMahon, general manager. Theodore Long, holla holla playa, general manager. These people played a major role as a general manager to run the company, to run the show, well, not run the company, but run the show, put together some great matches, and have the fans get excited about all these matches. Now, there hasn't been a general manager in a while, and I know some people are going to say, well, Furman, we really don't need a general manager. Number one, you need a fucking general manager. Look, I know some people go, well, it's been overrun. There's always been somebody that's been a general manager. Well, how the fuck are you going to keep up with this shit? How the fuck, and who's going to make the matches? Who's going to make the matches on both Raw and SmackDown? Do they make them on their own? That's the thing that's wrong with WWE these days. You put together these stupid bookings, and you don't even put a general manager involved in either of these shows. That's why it fucking sucks. Nothing makes sense, okay? So you're going to tell me that you're going to put Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble to defend the Universal Championship against a man who hasn't wrestled in many years, okay? Now, I have all the respect in the world for Adam Pearce. Like him, dig him, and the whole nine yards. But you know and I know that he does not deserve to be in this match against Roman Reigns. No, it's not going to happen. That's not drawing money. It's drawing money with a pencil, okay? That's how it fucking works. Now, if it was Roman Reigns versus Shinsuke Nakamura, there is your main event for SmackDown. There's your main event for the Royal Rumble. There is your main event right there. And you have to also understand something. We've waited a long, long time for Shinsuke Nakamura to not only be back in the main event spotlight, we also wanted Nakamura to finally get an opportunity at a championship. Now, he's been the United States champion. He's been the Intercontinental champion. He's been tag team champion. He's been very successful. Now, despite the fact that some people are saying that WWE is burying him, no, if they were burying him, he wouldn't be wearing any of these titles. This would be the perfect opportunity to put Nakamura in a position to where he can go after the Universal Championship at the Royal Rumble. And this is perfect. But now they're putting this position where now you're going to get this other guy to go up against Roman Reigns. And we're going to sit back, relax, and sit in our chairs and wonder, are you fucking kidding me? Are you high? How much fucking heroin have you put on before you decide to book this match? For crying out loud, leave the weed at fucking home, please. Okay? Oh, my God. But nonetheless, guys, nonetheless, unless something changes, or unless Stephanie McMahon or Vince McMahon decide to step up and say, hey, this is a ridiculous match, we don't want to see it, we want to change our minds, leave Adam Pearce at home, and bring Shinsuke Nakamura to take on Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship at the Royal Rumble, that would make fucking sense. Everything else would be like, yeah, you don't say. No kidding. Wow. That's gonna happen? You don't say. When was the last time you gave me a fucking blowjob, for crying out loud? But anyways, okay, let's dispense with the formalities right now. Let's go ahead and we're gonna skip this part for a moment. Well, not skip this part, but we're gonna actually get right into what we need to talk about, and that is AEW Dynamite's New Year's Revolution. New Year's Revolution. New Year's Smash, if you will. Okay, now, let me see if I can find it here. Let's see. AEW. Uh-huh. I'm just trying to put all this together. AEW. Come on. Put it on, you silly bastard. There we go. Okay, you got me. You got me right there. Okay. That's what I'm looking for. Come on. This is what happens when you're trying to look down the stuff and everything and you can't find what you're looking for. There we go. This is what I was looking for. Okay. Let me see if I can find what I'm looking for. Here we go. That's what. New Year's Smash. Now we're looking through the matches that I hear. Okay. Okay, so I saw some of these matches and some of them had actually taken place and everything, so... So the first matchup was the Young Bucks of Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson teaming with SoCal Uncensored of Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian meeting the team of Anthony Bones and The Acclaim. I can't even spell their names. And the Hybrid 2. Okay. Match was good. Once again, another reason why AEW should really, and I'm saying this for the love of fucking God. Listen, AEW, listen, I know you have a good show. I know it's great. Dynamite looks awesome. But can we quit with these 8-man tags, please? All right, can we stop the presses, okay? If you would have put, let's make this simpler, okay? If you would have put, say, the Young Bucks taking on the Acclaim, that would be okay? I don't need to see another 8-man tag for the fucking life of me, okay? So let me just go ahead and go right straight to the point. Your winners, the Young Bucks and SoCal, they win, and then they shake hands and mention something about we will go after the tag team titles. And then also there was something about, I guess, Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels had agreed that if they lose a match that they're going to separate, which, you know, I really hate for that to happen. I mean, they're both great veterans. They've both been teaming together for many, many years. Of course, Christopher Daniels was not only a former tag team champion with AEW, but he was also former Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion, former tag team champion, not just in Ring of Honor, but he was also a tag team champion in Impact Wrestling. I hate to see this team split up, but, you know, it's one of those situations where you know what's going to happen. It's practically there, so just wait for it, okay? Just wait for it. Now, this one was a pretty hard-hitting matchup. It was a members of the Inner Circle. MJF's bodyguard Warlord goes one-on-one against Jake Hager. Okay, now this was a pretty good matchup. I mean, I see these two very big men. The one that has the experience would definitely be Jake Hager. And I saw this match, and it was very hard-hitting. I mean, you had Chris Jericho doing the commentary on one side, and then you had the members of the Inner Circle that were on the stage right there just looking at the matchup. You had, you know, Santana and Ortiz right there, and then you had, who was on the other side, Sammy Guevara watching the match. And then, you know, watching this match, personally to me, I thought Jake Hager was going to win. I thought Jake Hager was really going to win the match. But all of a sudden, something happened. And I was in awe when this happened. And I didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen, but it did. Jake Hager lost to Warlord. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Jake Hager, the former world champion, the former United States champion, the former ECW champion, not the original ECW, but we're talking the WWE version. The man that fights at Bellator, that dude, that man loses to Warlord. Now, I'm not saying Warlord sucks. I'm just in shock that someone as badass, well, that's putting it lightly. Someone like Jake Hager would lose to someone like Warlord. And I'm not saying Warlord sucks at all. He's a great competitor. He's good at what he does. But it just shocks the hell out of me when I see this. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? But as always, they got to find a way to stay on the same page, which they have. So, wow. Warlord wins over Jake Hager. I mean, where do we go from here? Holy shit. Okay, let's go to the next matchup here. This matchup was good in every way possible, but I'm not sure exactly what happened. But let's see this match, if you will. You had Cody Rhodes going one-on-one against Matt Sydal. Now, for those of you that know who Matt Sydal is, if you've seen him in Ring of Honor, you have an idea. If you've seen him in Impact Wrestling, you know who he is. And if you've seen him in the WWE, he used to be known as Evan Bourne. Evan Bourne. He was the one that did the 450 splash and everything. Now, this matchup was a very good match from head to toe. I mean, Cody Rhodes was, doing what he can against Matt Sydal. Matt Sydal was doing whatever he can against Cody. It was, you know, outstanding. It was a great matchup. I love watching this matchup. I love it when I see two very serious competitors going at it one-on-one. Good for competition, good for stuff and everything. And of course, and just to mention this anyway, you had Snoop Dogg. That's right. Snoop Dogg, who is also involved with, would say he's involved with AEW, but the only reason why he's involved with AEW is because TBS has a show called Go Big Show, which features both Cody and Snoop Dogg. They're judges, and if you've seen that show, you know what I'm talking about. But anyways, so just to go ahead and dispense with the formalities, Cody Rhodes wins the match, okay, fairly. Hit him with two crossroads, all right? Two crossroads right there, and then wins the match, and somebody, I forgot who it was, interfered in the match. Okay, not interfered in the match, but just practically just came in, right? And then all of a sudden, I'm trying to remember who interfered in the match, but then something happened. Something happened, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, it does involve Snoop Dogg. Now, I'm watching this, right? No, wait a minute. I know what happened. What's that fucking dude's name? The one that with Septico or whatever the fuck that luchador's name is. We don't even know. Septico. What kind of name is that? Sounds like something that came out of my toilet. But anyways, he comes into the ring, weighs in, and then there's this other guy that, you know, looks like an Uncle Fester type individual, throws him out the ring, and then all of a sudden, he's a Septico. Let's just call him the man with the mask, all right? That way I don't have to call him Septico about 25 million times. Now, he's hold on to by Cody and Matt Sydal, and then here comes Snoop Dogg. He's coming at the very top rope, at the very top rope, okay? And he delivered, and I swear to God, this is the fucking truth. You can see it on YouTube. You can see it on replays. You can see it wherever. It is quite possibly the worst, I repeat, the worst splash in the history of pro wrestling. Everyone has heard of the five-star frog splash from Rob Van Dam. We've heard of the frog splash from the legendary Eddie Guerrero. Those are tremendous frog splashes that worked, that were good, that were tested out perfectly, and you crash your opponent and break down. Snoop Dogg was flying and he hit the ground and his stomach did not even touch his opponent. I'm not kidding. Look at the match. Look for yourself and notice that Snoop Dogg barely touched him. And when he did, it was too late. And while everyone was having a laugh and enjoying this, I sat there looking at the television screen like, dude, do me a favor. Don't ever do that again. And more importantly, if you're going to do something that stupid, you better smoke some weed, okay? Do it, all right? Smoke some weed, smoke some gin and juice. Hey, I love Snoop Dogg with all due respect, but my, and you know what? You know what's so weird? And I'm doing the comparisons here. Do you remember a long time ago, I think it was 2015 or 16, maybe it was 14. No, it was definitely 2013. Around the time when Snoop Dogg was around the WWE at the time, do you remember when you saw Snoop Dogg clothesline, I think it was Curtis Axel? Yeah, you remember when he clotheslined Curtis Axel? That was a whole lot better than what the hell Snoop Dogg did in that AEW ring. So let me get this straight. You're going to have Snoop Dogg go on the very top rope and splash on an individual, and he didn't even do it right over what Snoop Dogg did to Curtis Axel several years ago on Monday Night Raw. Yeah, that good job, Age. Good job, all right? Snoop, do me a favor, dude. Don't do that ever again. And if you choose to do it again, get some gin and juice and smoke some fucking weed, please. This is not gonna work, all right? I would believe in the boogeyman, much less believe the fuck that I saw, okay? Okay, speaking of shit that I don't believe, oh, God. So we get this match here for the AEW Women's Championship. Hikaru Shida, oh my God, I pronounced the name right. Hikaru Shida going one-on-one against Abaddon. Now, once again, I'm not going to suspense with the formalities on this one. And I swear to God, every time I see this Abaddon woman, first of all, my head is thinking, this woman needs to go to a hospital immediately, okay? She looks like her eyes are about to pop out, and I'm going to scream and yell and say, look, this woman needs to go to a hospital immediately, okay? And this is the thing. I don't mind a woman being creepy. Look, Rosemary, that works, okay? I dig that, okay? That was good. Soo Young, that worked. That was perfect. That was, dude. Abaddon. No, it's not gonna fucking work, all right? Look, you could scare the fleas off my dog. You could scare the cats off of my fucking garbage cans, okay? You could scare the bitches next door, but the point is, you can't scare. Well, actually, you know what? Okay, let me just get to the end of it. The end of the match ended up with Hikaru Shida winning the title, and Abaddon is, well, you know the rest. Oh my God, this was just. How did we get here? How did we get? And you know,
Listen, here's the thing. I don't have a problem with the AEW women's division, but I need you guys to do me a favor, okay? Listen, AEW, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to do me the biggest favor in the world. I need you to fix your women's division, okay? Here's the thing. You got a few women in there that can possibly do the job. And more importantly, you got a couple of women that could possibly be the next AEW women's champion. Let me give you a few selections if you don't mind. You got one of my all-time favorites, and not to mention someone I follow on Facebook, who is also a friend of mine on Facebook, Eva Lise. Put her in a title match against Hikaru Shida. Okay, and how about this? How about this? How about you put, Diamante, right? Her partner? Put her up against Hikaru Shida. Do that. Oh, how about this? How about my all-time favorite? How about your favorite and mine? How about Thunder Rosa? How about you put Thunder Rosa against Hikaru Shida? Because, my God, I swear, and this is the fucking truth, everybody knows it, Hikaru Shida is the most boring woman's champion I've ever seen. I swear to God, where do I go from here? Okay, I don't really have to go anywhere. But anyways, let's move on to the next thing, shall we? And this was there was this one part that I saw, I apparently skipped it. It was, what took place? I think, some sort of a confrontation. I think that's right. Night 2 was coming. As a matter of fact, that's going to be happening, next Wednesday. Team Taz came out and was confronting Darby Allin. Darby Allin had the championship, and Team Taz looked like they were about to do a major job on Darby Allin. Darby Allin has a new championship, by the way. It's the same design, but it's all, you know, black and white and everything else like that, so you get where that's going. So anyways, after that, Sting apparently comes out, right? Comes out with Darby Allin, right? And, you know, there's going to be a point, there's going to be a time where honestly, I really like this combination of seeing Sting come out with Darby Allin. I really do. I mean, it kind of, and let's be honest and let's call it like we see it, ladies and gentlemen. While we see a bunch of shit that looks like crap, and we see a bunch of shit that makes me want to go ahead and throw up 25 million times and then throw up again just for good measure, when I see Sting and Darby Allin, when I see this going on, it's good, it's right, it's perfect. And I know some people are wondering, when in the world is Sting going to wrestle? Well, nothing's been announced yet, but I'm still waiting on Cody Rhodes to take on Sting at Revolution. I'm waiting for that to happen. I'm hoping that that happens. Okay, now we get to the main event. Let's get to the main event match, shall we? Kenny Omega, the supposed world champion, the supposed AEW world champion. And the reason why I call him the supposed world champion is because unlike Kenny Omega, unlike Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns and Finn Balor and others in that particular nature, those are champions that I wouldn't mind seeing. That I wouldn't mind seeing at all. Kenny Omega, no, I don't want to see him at all. But anyways, Kenny Omega, the supposed world champion, defends his championship alongside with his stupid sidekick, Don Callis, the man who used to be known as Jackal a long time ago in the Attitude Era, to take on Rey Fénix. Now, match was good. Match was good. Digged it. And there's nothing that I can say other than it's a good match. That's it. And I got to tell you this right now. And I'll say this because it's true. I think, and this is just me talking, I think that Kenny Omega has become a modified version, and I'm saying this with utter contempt. Kenny Omega has become AEW's version of The Miz. I'm not kidding. You know why? Actually, you know what? I don't need to explain myself. You probably know the story, but just let me get into the end, okay? Kenny Omega wins the match. It's over. It's done. Now, earlier in the night, John Moxley had cut a promo. John Moxley has said what he said, and he's looking to come after Kenny Omega for the AEW Championship. And no doubt that will be happening very, very soon. I can't wait to see how that matchup is going to go. But anyways, after the match, Kenny Omega cuts a promo. John Moxley goes ahead and comes in with a baseball barbed wire bat and strikes on Kenny Omega. I was happy with it. I was happy. But for some odd fucking reason, I had this feeling something was afloat. Now, if you know about the whole story with Kenny Omega and his association with the Good Brothers over on Impact Wrestling, you know that there's a back and forth little situation going on. So apparently, while Kenny Omega appears over in AEW joining forces with the Good Brothers, now the Good Brothers decide to invade AEW. Now, and to be honest, and to be completely honest, it may have been an invasion, but it's, how do I put this delicately? It's stupid. It makes the WWE versus WCW invasion look good. It's that fucking bad, okay? And Good Brothers come in, they attack John Moxley, that was it, that's how it goes. And then all of the AEW roster guys come in and they get attacked and everything, and they try to help out in every way possible, which I can understand that, and everything, right? So now comes the next part, okay? Here's the next part. You may be in shock. I'm sort of not really in shock. Okay, actually, it's not really a shock when you think about it, but anyways, let me get into what I need to talk about. The next part that comes in, right? The next part was where here comes the Young Bucks, and they're apparently coming in, and from the moment I saw the Young Bucks, I'm looking at this picture, okay? I'm looking at this picture. I see Kenny Omega. I see the Good Brothers. I see the Young Bucks, and my thought is, oh, no. No, tell me this is not going to happen. It happened, because while some of the AEW guys were holding on to the Good Brothers for good measure, all of a sudden the Young Bucks go ahead and kick on their own company, on their own roster. So what happens? You got the AEW World Tag Team Champions, the Young Bucks, on one side. You got the Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champions in the Good Brothers. And then you have the supposed AEW World Champion, Kenny Omega, in the middle. What do you have, ladies and gentlemen? A bad version of the NWO that is known as the Returning Bullet Club. The Bullet Club. Really? Are you fucking kidding me? Oh my God. So I had to sit back and watch this. And while everyone was excited, everyone was. I know they were. I mean, my Twitter was blowing up. My Facebook was blowing up. Everyone was excited. The fact that Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and the Good Brothers are together, and they are going to run AEW, and they're going to run Impact Wrestling, and they're going to rule the entire wrestling world. And somewhere in the background, and I can see this happening right now, I see Hogan, I see Hall, I see Nash, I see D-Generation X. They're looking at this, and the first thing that comes to their heads is, really? Really? These guys? Who the fuck are these guys? I found this pic, right? And I have this over on my Main Events on Facebook page, where there's kids love the Bullet Club on one side, and then there's adults like Evolution, And then something about John Cena. But that's a discussion for another day. But anyways, it's like... what do I say to this? What am I supposed to say to this? The fact that now this is like supposedly the greatest ending ever. So we see the Bullet Club right there. We see Kenny Omega. We see the Good Brothers. And we see, you know, the Young Bucks together for the first time in so many years, right? I mean, am I supposed to be like jumping for joy and saying, yay, this is gonna fucking work. Hey, I'm gonna love this shit. No, I'm not. I'm sorry. Let me give you, oh yes, I must. Let me give you my honest opinion here. You know, this is the part where much like the NWO a long time ago. I mean, the NWO was good back in 96. The NWO was good back in 97. The NWO was good in 98. But it should have died in 1999. It should have died. It should have died. But WCW had to be stupid and bring back the NWO with new members. And even that didn't work. And then the WWE goes ahead and brings the original three. The original three members of the NWO, which worked for a while. It worked until Hulk Hogan decided to come back to Hulkamania, which he did. Okay? Then this thing called the Bullet Club happened back, 2013 to 14, everything? I think the Bullet Club back then was something special. You know, you had all of these talented wrestlers involved in the Bullet Club, and then you have Kenny Omega. The point is, the Bullet Club was somewhat special, but let's be honest, and let's call it like we see it. They were a modified version of the NWO. Pretty much and some people could even say they're much talented than the NWO. I wouldn't really go that far. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, some of the guys that the Bullet Club has are very, very talented. But if you look at the members of the Bullet Club from a long time ago, back in 2013 and 14, and compare them to the NWO from 97, 98, you want to know the difference between the NWO from that era and the Bullet Club from that era? There were grown-ass men in the NWO. There were grown-ass men in the NWO. When you look at the Bullet Club, you see a bunch of kids. I'm sorry to include Adam Cole and Finn Balor and a few others. I mean, I'm sorry to add them to the list here, but unfortunately, some people are going to look at them as kids. Now, I know some people are going to say, well, you don't know anything about the Bullet Club. You don't know out there. What's there to know? Okay, you've got some talented wrestlers in here, but you got some that are doing good by themselves, okay? It's okay. I'm not going to judge. Well, actually, I am going to judge. I got a gavel in my fucking head, for crying out loud. But the point is, the Bullet Club. What is the point of the Bullet Club anyway? I mean, what's really going to happen? You know, somebody tell me. But, well, somebody may tell me eventually, if we can get to that point. But anyways, that was the end of that, if you don't mind. AEW Dynamite against the end of AEW versus NXT. Clearly, just to conclude this, because we're almost at the end of the show. To me, AEW was a good show. It had some good matches. It had some stuff that I liked and everything, and it was okay. NXT, on the other hand, had some very potential matches. You know, very good matches. And, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the things that are going to happen in NXT TakeOver on Valentine's Day. I'm really, really looking forward to check that out. Now, as far as what's going to happen with AEW, We know that they are 1 month away from, what's the event called? Revolution. So we're going to see how that shit goes and everything with AEW. Now, as far as this whole thing with the Bullet Club goes, no doubt that they're going to be involved in several stuff that's going to be happening in Impact Wrestling. Now, as you know, as I mentioned on part one, there's going to be an event that's going to be taking place. As a matter of fact, it's going to be taking place in the next few hours, and it's going to be called Genesis. Now, there's going to be a Super X Cup that's going to take place on that event. Now, I have already talked about it on the last episode, part one of this episode. And on this one, not only is there going to be an event that's going to happen today, which is Genesis, but next week on, I believe it's the 16th, right? As a matter of fact, it's going to be on the 16th. Hard to Kill is going to be on that event. And several matches have already been announced. And hopefully when the main event gets an opportunity, I'll be able to tell you about those events and more. And we'll be discussing a whole lot more. Plus, we know about the Royal Rumble, guys. We know about a lot of the matches that are going to happen. And also, several people have already made their entry. They're going to be in the Royal Rumble, including people like Daniel Bryan, who's going to be in the Royal Rumble. Randy Orton's going to be in the Royal Rumble. No more other names that I haven't heard that are going to be a part of the Rumble. I know that Nia Jax has announced that she's going to be in the Rumble. Bianca Belair, I found out that she's going to be a part of the Royal Rumble, so that's going to be interesting to check out. And I think that's it. I don't know who else is going to be a part of the Rumble, but it should be interesting. It should be very, very interesting to check out what's going to happen in the Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble is going to happen on January 31st. It's going to happen live Sunday on pay-per-view and on the WWE Network. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to conclude this episode of the Main Event Talk podcast. We're getting closer and closer to the end of the show. So, as always, follow the Main Event on Twitter at twitter.com/@MainEventPlayer. You can also follow me on Twitter at Twitter at twitter.com/@MainEventPlayer. You can also follow me on Instagram at instagram.com/@MainEventPlayer. Of course, you can follow me on my Main Event Talk Facebook page at facebook.com/@RealMainEventPlayer. And if you want to go ahead and friend request me at MainEventPlayer.com. Facebook.com/@MainEventPlayer. And one more little secret before we go ahead and go, because there's a lot of things we're going to cover. To anyone that tries to friend request me, here's the thing. If you have been socially active, and if you're a wrestling fan or a headbanger in any way possible, I will be glad to accept you. If you want to follow me, go ahead and follow me. But here's the thing. If you're active, I may accept you. But don't message me. Don't go to Messenger at all. If you're a close friend or relative or anything in that particular nature, you will be accepted. But if you choose to accept my friend request or I choose to accept your friend request and you go directly to message, there's a good chance that I'm not going to be answering it at all. So, with that being said, if you friend request me, be careful, because I will not. I repeat, I will not answer. Okay, guys, that's going to conclude this episode. Part two is done. It's officially over. Part one was done. Get an opportunity to listen to that while you can. And part two is officially done right now. And we are getting closer and closer to several events, including Genesis, which is taking place tonight on Impact Wrestling. Also, Hard to Kill is going to happen on Impact Wrestling as well. The Royal Rumble is coming on January 31st, live as it happens over at the Tropicana Field, over at the Thunderdome, and I can't wait to check that out, and so much more. This is just the first month of January, and this is just the first two episodes of the Main Event Talk podcast. We got a lot more to cover in 2021. So, guys, thank you for listening. Check out AEW Dynamite. Check out NXT. Check out Monday Night Raw. Check out SmackDown. Check out all of your favorite pro wrestling podcasts. promotions. No doubt we're going to be seeing a lot in the next few months until we reach the end of 2021. So, ladies and gentlemen, the main event is officially leaving. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time on another great episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. Why? Because I can, and I want to. Any questions? Enough said.
Bring me down. You can bring me down.